Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Deep Industries Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Adfactors PR. From the management, we have Mr. Paras Savla, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Rohan Shah, Whole-time Director of Finance and Chief Financial Officer, to take the discussion forward. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand this conference over to Mr. Paras Savla from Deep Industries. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. It gives me immense pleasure to speak to you all today as we present our fourth quarter and full-year performance for the financial year 2025. Thank you very much for joining this call. Our quarter four and FY25 results, press release, and investor presentation are available on our website as well as on exchanges. I believe you all had a chance to go through it. I am joined by Mr. Rohan Shah, Director of Finance and CFO, who will assist me in answering your queries. After my brief, he will share the financial performance of the company in detail, and we will then take your questions. The Indian oil and gas sector is undergoing a transformative phase driven by progressive policy and growing demand. The Oilfield Amendment Bill passed in Lok Sabha in March 2025 has redefined the sector's trajectory. By expanding the definition of mineral oils to include shale gas and unconventional hydrocarbons, streamlining dispute resolution, and incentivizing enhanced oil recovery techniques, this legislation is unlocking new opportunities for exploration and production. Complementing this, the 10th round of the Open Acreage Licensing Policy launched during India Energy Week 2025 leverages AI-driven seismic data analysis to accelerate the discovery of new reserves. These reforms align with India's goal to expand its exploration area to 1 million square kilometers by 2030, signaling a robust push towards self-reliance. At Deep Industries, we are strategically positioned to thrive into this evolving landscape. Our expertise in drilling and workover services directly supports the nation's focus on EOR and unconventional hydrocarbons, the key pillars of the amendment bill. As India ramps up exploration, our capabilities will play a vital role in tapping into new and marginal fields. Additionally, our proficiency in our value-added services like charter hire of entire gas processing facilities and integrated project management aligns seamlessly with the government's ambition to double natural gas production to 60 billion cubic meters and enhance its share in the energy mix. In line with this vision, Deep Industries Limited, through its group company Dolphin Offshore Enterprise, has taken a significant step in expanding its offshore services. Beluga International, DIMCC, a wholly-owned subsidiary of Dolphin Offshore, has entered into a three-year lease agreement with Ballast Shipping, a Mexican company, for the deployment of Prabha DP2 accommodation barge. This strategic move is poised to enhance Industries' global footprint in the offshore services sector, thereby leveraging the strong operational capabilities of its group entities. It underscores our commitment to innovation and growth, positioning us to capitalize on emerging opportunities in the global energy market. Our strategy is clear: enhance operational efficiency, adopt cutting-edge technologies, and seize emerging opportunities. We are actively exploring production enhancement contracts and charter hiring of entire gas processing facilities, segments poised to drive our growth in the coming years. These initiatives not only bolster our services portfolio but also contribute significantly to India's energy security and economic resilience. Looking ahead, Deep Industries is committed to leverage the supportive policy framework and favorable markets to deliver sustained value. With India's energy demand projected to grow faster than any major economy, reaching 11 million barrels per day by 2045, and natural gas consumption forecast to hit 550 million cubic meters per day by 2030. The opportunities are immense. They will continue to innovate, collaborate, and lead into the dynamic sector, ensuring that your company remains a cornerstone of India's energy future. With this, I invite Rohan Shah to provide a detailed overview of the financial performance of quarter 4 and FY25. Following his remarks, we will be happy to address any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Bharatbhai. Investor friends, thank you for joining the call today. Happy to share with you another stellar quarterly and full year performance of Deep Industries Limited. All the comparisons are on year-on-year basis, which would provide fair evaluation. We would like to inform that during fourth quarter, there was one time loss of rupees 251 crore reported under exceptional items due to cleaning exercise post acquisition of Kandla Energy and Chemicals Limited from liquidation and Dolphin Offshore Shipping Limited from CIRP. We have shown both amount with and without these exceptional items in profit and loss in investor presentation. For fair comparison purpose, it would be worthwhile to consider PAT without considering this exceptional item. Other details are on consolidated basis as follows. Revenue from Q4 FY25 rose to rupees 167.2 crore, up by 39.7% year-on-year. For full year revenue, operational revenue jumped by 35% to rupees 576.13 crore. The strong growth momentum in top line comes from execution of our orders as well as consistent new order flows. Tight control over our costing and operational efficiencies have helped us post 27.4% year-on-year growth in EBITDA to 62.5 crore in Q4 FY25. For full year EBITDA, it has grown by 35.3% to rupees 263.8 crore with EBITDA margin of 43%. We have been maintaining EBITDA margins in the range of 41 to 44%, providing us a decent cash flow to strategize our future growth trajectory. Net profit or PAT attributable to owners for the fourth quarter, excluding one-time loss, was at rupees 41.9 crore, up by 17.8% year-on-year. For full year, PAT attributable to owners stood at rupees 161 crore, up by 31.6%. As on date, our order book stood at rupees 2,960 crores. We are happy to inform that Board of Directors have recommended final dividend of rupees 3.05, that is 61% on the face value of rupees 5 per equity share, subject to approval of shareholders of the company at the ensuing annual general meeting. As we look ahead to FY26, Deep Industries is well positioned for a bright and promising future. Building on our strong performance in recent years, we are confident in our ability to maintain this positive trajectory. As Parasbhai said, our success is driven by a solid foundation of operational excellence, a sharp focus on cost optimization, and a steadfast commitment to innovation. These strengths enable us to seize new opportunities as they arise in the energy sector. With this, I now open the forum for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pankaj from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So if I see the consolidated performance and if I compare quarter on quarter, so like the margins of the company has been declined. So like the margins have declined from around from 43% to 34%. So like what is the reason behind it?
So on quarterly basis, as we consolidated newly acquired companies, in addition to their exceptional items, there are certain other expenses also which were be consolidated under Q4. And that is the reason particularly for a drop in margin in Q4. If you look from year's perspective, full year perspective, they are in line.
So what is the quantum of the expenses?
These are in range of around 10 to 11 crore for the quarter.
For the quarter. So like we can, so it will be like.
These are one time of course. So it would not be recurring kind of.
Okay. And like and guided margin would be 40 to 43%.
Yeah.
And okay, that got it. And also talking about the Dolphin offshore book, so like this CWIP of the Dolphin offshore has reached to around 222 crores. And
correct.
So I think in the last call we were discussing that the barge renovation expense would took around 110 to 120 crores only. So like what is the composition of this CWIP?
Yeah, so in addition to refurbishment cost, we included the book value of barge as well into CWIP. So putting book value as well as refurbishment cost, it has reached to this level.
Okay, and what is the life cycle? What is the life of these assets? So like what is the depreciation we can expect?
Sorry, your voice is
can
not
clear. Can you please say it a little louder, please?
So I'm saying like what is the life of this asset?
Yeah, it would be almost 15 years.
15 years, okay. And also in your notes, like you have mentioned that one of the our subsidiary Beluga International has made an investment of around $2.2 million in HF Hunter. So like what kind of investment like are we looking into this company?
Yeah, so that investment is for joint venture with HF Offshore, and under this JV we have acquired one anchor handling tug. So our stake in that investment would be 37%. So it would be addition to our fleet for offshore services.
Got it. And one last question on exception loss. Like you have posted around 250 crores of exception loss. So like what exactly comprises this? Like you mentioned that was on account of cleaning up. So like what exactly comprises of this cleaning exercise? Does it comprise of asset write down or liability provisioning or what?
Yeah, it is primarily consisting of writing off of inventory and receivables which are not recoverable.
Okay, so like whole of the write-off is non-cash in nature?
Yeah, these are non-cash items and it is just an accounting effect. We'll have to take it in consolidation.
Okay, and one more question, like do you have any update on the like 108 crore ONGC arbitration?
Sorry?
Do you have any update on 108 crores of ONGC arbitration award?
ONGC arbitration you are saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that out of that 108 crore, 75% we already have received, and ONGC had challenged that arbitration into civil court, which where again we got order in our favor. But ONGC has now appealed to higher court, and so we are waiting for higher court to get it clear.
Okay. And just one more question. Like you have mentioned that the Kandla Energy will result in backward integration. So like what kind of margin benefit we can expect from this acquisition?
Yeah, so since many chemicals and fluids would be useful, so we believe in our operating margins, we can have an improvement of more than 2-3% at least on a minimum side.
Okay, got it. That's it from my side. Yeah, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viral Shah from Ambit Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So basically, it's a couple of questions. One, auditors are given opinion. So this is pertaining to the newly acquired entity, right? Kandla and Dolphin, right? That is what.
Correct.
So could you elaborate more into this? What is this related to?
Sorry?
Could you elaborate more into this matter? What is it related to? My auditors have given some opinion onto this on the receivable front and.
Since this acquisition happened in only last day of the financial year, so we are in process of evaluating that receivables in full. So currently, as on 31st March, we believe that we should take all those receivables to next financial year, because without evaluating and finalizing on its recoverability, we should not take any action. So with regards to receivables for Kandla, we are continuing them.
Okay. Got it. So apart from
See,
that.
Our acquisition cost for taking Kandla is very minuscule against what we are getting as receivables and all other properties and experiences. So we would definitely try to take maximum benefit out of it.
Got it. So as of now, when you look at this provisioning which we have done, so everything is done and dusted, or there is something more expected going forward?
So as of now, whatever provisioning we have done, that was very clear from upfront, like this, whatever is required, we have already provided. And with regards to this other provisions, we will take the decision based on our evaluation, and we believe that majority of them we can be recovered.
No, so agreed. So as of now, we have made the entire provisioning, or there is some more expectation which can come in, whatever the assessment which you want to put in.
So as on date, whatever was required, we have done entire provisioning.
And for both the things, right? Dolphin and. So Dolphin, there can be no more surprises. Kandla, there can be some expected. Is the understanding correct or no?
Yeah. So I think for both of these companies, whatever was required, we have provided. So surprises, I'm not sure for any of them would be there. But yeah, at the end of day, it's an acquisition. So post-evaluation only.
And you did mention that there were 11 or 12 crores of extra expenses. So if you add them back, you are at the same margins of last quarter, right? Is the understanding correct?
Correct.
Got it.
See, at the end of day, acquisition cost for acquiring both these companies put together is just 9 crore for us. And so against 9 crore, these two companies with their properties, their receivables, and their experiences with their assets is coming in. So we believe these two can give us a great amount of push going forward.
Got it. Got it. Understood, Rohan bhai. So lastly, two more questions from my end. One, what is the update on this product enhancement contract? Where are we? ONGC.
In production enhancement contract, we have taken over the charge on the field in first week of April, and we have started doing groundwork there. So we have this entire field is now in our control, and baseline production, we are continuing with baseline production. And we have started applying our efforts for increasing production. So as we had said before, it will take 5 to 6 months to reach to the incremental production level. So we are quite poised to get incremental production by H2.
Got it, got it. That was really nice. Lastly, Parasbhai was just mentioning on the new opportunities which are expected. Could you throw some more light onto this space per se? What is the bid pipeline expected, and are we bidding for new tenders, such tenders going forward?
So as I mentioned that the 10th round of OLAP is already there. One more round of BSF-4 is already out. So likewise, and many such PECs are also out. Are not out, they are supposed to get out very soon. So we see in front of us a lot of opportunities in these bidding rounds, in various bidding rounds. So that is the biggest hope we have as we go forward. Government is also quite excited to be self-reliant and want the Indian producers to produce more oil and gas. So ahead of us, we feel there are immense opportunities in the sector.
Got it, Bhavesh. But in terms of number, can we quantify something which can be coming for this first half? Is there something possibility in first half or second half?
I think in second quarter onwards, you may see some numbers coming up in a big way with these PECs and all. So and as we go forward, these numbers will definitely be reflected to what our expectations are.
Got it. Lastly, Rohanbhai, apart from this exceptional item which we have recovered, where we have booked around 251 crores, is there a possibility that something can be reversed positively as well going forward?
Something can be, sorry?
Reversed positively. This is the negative part of it, but can we reverse the positive part of it as well? Something which can be recovered from
two targets.
Acquisition.
No, not from these two targets.
Not from. Got it. Done. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sudhir Bedha from Bedha Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. And congratulations for the good operational numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, my question is first. With the new opportunity and new avenues or segment coming up this year as far as avenues are concerned, like production enhancement and then dolphin barge, and as you mentioned, other opportunity in the second half, and this acquisition, recent acquisition of Kandla. So what kind of revenue growth do you see in this current year, the 25-26? And of course, profitability. What is your guidance for this year, current year?
So our expectations with the kind of order book that we have, we are very, very confident, and on a very conservative side, we expect a minimum growth year on year of 25% or maybe even 30%. And our profits should be in line with what our current numbers are in the same ratios as we go forward. To
20-30%. Great. And sir, as I look at the console balance sheet, so your receivable numbers have doubled from 276 crore to 588 crore. I believe that is a receivable of that recently acquired Kandla Chemical.
Correct. So we have categorically given note for this receivables. So as you rightly said, the number is primarily because of the receivables of these two targets which we have acquired.
Okay. And sir, now we have to take a 250 crore hit. So, and we have spent, I think, only 9 crore on those acquisitions. Of course, you have explained, but can you elaborate the rationale behind acquiring these two companies and taking the hit on the balance sheet? So whether the network of our main deep industry will be affected, how this entire transaction was done actually?
No, so even after taking this one-time loss, net worth of Deep is positively affected only, so it has increased only. So even after this hit, net worth of Deep is not affected negatively. Second, the primary rationale for acquiring these two targets is more related to business expansion. So with regards to Kandla Energy and Chemicals, they were into manufacturing of various hydrocarbon fluids and chemicals. And as you are aware that in our integrated project management and under production enhancement contract, we are consuming so many such chemicals and hydrocarbon fluids. So by acquiring this can be a good opportunity of backward integration by which our operating margins, we have an opportunity to improve our operating margins significantly. So primarily, that was the reason for acquiring Kandla. And with regards to Dolphin Shipping, they are already having a few tugs running already into Indian Oceans. And by that acquisition, we can immediately increase our fleet in our offshore services.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sudhir, but I would like to request you to rejoin the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sir, I want to understand working capital cycle and as well as the receivables with respect to the company. So my understanding is 363 crores of receivables is of the company prior, adjusted for the recent acquisition, right?
Correct.
And how much of this is within 90 days and after 90 days? Like, what percentage?
So these receivables are old receivables of old management. So we have received this with our acquisition of this company with minuscule cost.
No. I'm talking about the company level receivables. Okay. 363 crores of Deep Industries receivables. How much of this, what percent of this receivable is 90 days?
So if you remove that 363 crore, then balance receivables are my regular receivables from Deep and other subsidiaries. And majority of them would be 90 days. I would say more than 70-80% would be 90 days. And balance would be more than 90 days.
Okay. Sir, my question on the write-off part is, sir, you did the write-off is with respect to the inventory and receivables, and it's like a non-cash items. So are we, with respect to the receivables front, are we expecting this 208 crores of receivables in the coming year in FY26? Or is it like you have totally written off the 208 crores of the receivables?
No, so we have kept those receivables outstanding because evaluation is going on. And since we have recently acquired and taken control over the company, so all documents and supportings we are going it through. And we are quite hopeful to recover out of this receivables as well.
Okay. And sir, my last question is with respect to the Dolphin Offshore revenue. We have seen that it had Dolphin Offshore in Q4 did around 20 crores of revenue. Can we expect in FY25 the Dolphin Offshore revenue to be around 120 crores?
FY26, we are expecting revenue of almost 100 crore for sure. we can book more than this if we'll add a few more projects in Dolphin. But as on date, we are for sure for 100 crore.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Mr. Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunities. Sir, my first question regarding right now, the oil prices are hovering around $60 per barrel. Generally, if oil prices goes below $60, really difficult for oil exploring companies to make money. I just want to understand at this scenario, is there any slowdown of getting new contracts or execution of current contracts? I understand we have around nearly 2,900 crore kind of order book at this point of time. How much is from short-term and long-term contracts? Is there any execution of this? Is there any delay getting in new contracts? This is my first question, sir.
Okay. As far as the sentiment goes, as I'd mentioned earlier, there is a lot of excitement into the sector. The theory goes that even the government of India, largely companies like ONGC or Oil India, they have a mandate to keep producing oil and gas irrespective of the prices going way low or bit high, because their endeavor is always to produce oil. Now, 20, 30 years, we have seen that the drilling activities, as far as the PSUs are concerned, they have been following a very strong mandate of energy sufficiency. In all these years, we have seen that the scenario has not much impacted to the PSUs. As we go ahead with the private sector, I think when the crude oil prices, assumingly they go low, it gives a great opportunity for them to do a CapEx. Because whenever the prices have to go up, they would be still able to get all the services and everything and other costs at a very reasonable rate. It is nothing more than a deferred CapEx.
This call is now being recorded.
Companies who have an understanding of this diplomatic understanding, they would definitely keep going, and they keep doing these investments. Thirdly, our contracts largely are of the fixed nature. Say, assuming that we have a contract for, say, 3 years, prices may go, it does not have any impact on our commitment and our services. They are fixed for that period, and therefore, we are not impacted on the crude oil prices, even if they have to go low or even if they have to go high. We believe that in either of the conditions we have seen in all these years, our businesses have not been impacted because of any of these changes.
Got it, sir. My second question regarding CapEx of 500 crore for this year, is that for this CapEx, and we are also planning for QIP, and when we are going to close for that?
See, primarily, we would be doing CapEx of 500 crore, of which more than 350 crores would be for equipment. We would be adding a few more rigs and other gas processing equipment in this financial year. We are also evaluating few opportunities of acquisition as well. All put together, 500 crore is our plan for this financial year. Having said so, we are quite comfortable on our liquidity position. We would definitely look for good time to go ahead with QIP.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding the DP2 barge. The contract that Dolphin Enterprises, Dolphin Offshore declared, it said that the contract is worth 281 crores of net of OpEx over 3 years. Sir, does that mean if I divide that by 3, that comes to around 94 crores? Does that mean that from this contract, the EBITDA recognized by Dolphin Offshore could be around 94 crores? Because it says net of OpEx. Is that understanding correct?
Yes. So you have rightly understood it. So since it is net of OpEx, almost the revenue would be EBITDA. I would say almost, but yes.
Got it. And sir, what will be the estimated cost below EBITDA in terms of interest and depreciation?
Depreciation, interest cost, and administrative cost would be there.
Any idea on quantification there, sir? I'm just trying to see how much can flow through to PBT.
Would be little early to say, but would not be much. So percentage, it will be difficult to quantify as of now.
Okay. And sir, how much losses are left to be set off at Dolphin Offshore as a whole for tax purposes?
So Dolphin Offshore India has more than 100 crore carry forward loss, but this revenue would be booked in Dubai. So there we will have a tax of 9%.
Fine. Okay. And sir, for this, regarding this exceptional item loss, so can you clarify something? So if I look at H1 consolidated equity for Deep Industries, that was around 1,500 crore. And FY 2025 end consolidated equity is around 1,820 crore even after this write-off. So
Correct.
If I just subtract the two numbers, that's 320 crore plus 250 crore. So is it correct that by paying 9 crore, what we actually initially added to our book value of equity was around 500 crore or 550 crore, and from there we have taken a 250 crore write-off to arrive at the present balance sheet. Is that right?
Correct. It is more or less what you are saying is right.
Okay. Last question, sir. In Kandla Energy, Dolphin Shipping, you said that there are some tugs which are operating. Those are the operating assets. In Kandla Energy, I missed your commentary. What are the kind of operating assets that we have gotten from this acquisition?
So they have factory land and machinery. So we'll just have to revive that machinery and we'll have to start working on it.
Okay. And your earlier guidance, sir, of 40% revenue growth for FY 2026 and maintaining or improving EBITDA, that holds even after this write-off and when you're coming to terms with these acquisitions. There are no changes in those kind of guidance?
Yeah. That guidance will continue to be hold because based on our existing order book, we will definitely be growing on. See, if you'll see on operational revenue front, we have grown this year 35%. And that is what exactly we were envisaging. And for FY 2026, also, we are envisaging growth of more than 30% or so. So that growth will continue to be there.
Okay. All right, sir. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, sir. On this Prabha that expected to generate additional revenue from first quarter, right? So what is the quantum? I mean, per quarter, this can add to your revenue from first quarter?
It's primarily $30,000 a day. So proportionately, that much amount will be. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, sir, I think you please continue. Yeah. There was some disturbance.
So it's $30,000 a day, and we'll definitely have revenue starting from good Q1. So we are expecting more than almost 55 to 60 days revenue from Q1, and then definitely. So in this contract, on yearly basis, you will have a revenue of more than 330 days.
Correct. 330 days yearly revenue at 30,000 per day.
Correct.
Okay. So given this kicker in your revenue, I mean, do you also expect a quarter-on-quarter revenue will see improvement? I mean, from fourth quarter to first quarter?
Yeah, of course. So quarter-on-quarter growth would definitely be there because the revenue from barge was not there in last Q4. So it would definitely be added. And from Q2 end or from Q3 starting, we'll have additional revenue from production enhancement as well. So Q-on-Q growth is also quite visible.
Quite possible, right, on Q-on-Q? Because this first quarter, you will have a benefit of Prabha 2, and from second quarter onwards, you will have a production enhancement benefit, right? And what would the production enhancement additional revenue that can kick in?
So our primary estimate says that in H2, we can have a revenue of around 65-70 crore from production enhancement.
In H2, that is about 35-40 crores per quarter, 30-35 crores per quarter.
Correct.
Okay. So in second quarter also, you expect a similar jump? I mean, that's where your kicker will start, right?
No. So our expectation is it will take Q3, but we are trying if we can get some revenue in end of Q2.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Deepak Poddar, but I would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. You mentioned that you are expecting an increase in operating margins as a result of the acquisition of Kandla Energy. So how much increase you are expecting? And then if you're expecting an increase in the margin, so then the PAT growth must be more than the revenue growth of 25%-30%, right?
Yeah. So PAT will definitely improve in line with incremental operating margins, and that would definitely be reflecting in PAT as well.
Okay. But how much improvement you are expecting in the operating margins? How many bits?
I just expect that it should improve more than 2% from first year, and then probably we can improve further.
Okay. So you are expecting a 2% increase in FY26 in the operating margins at a consolidated level?
Correct.
Okay. And so how much tax rate should we estimate for FY26? Blended tax rate for the full year?
The tax rate for my overseas revenue from Dolphin would be 9%, and my entire India business would be 25%.
Okay. Fine. And sir, what is the bid pipeline now?
So bidding pipeline as of now is somewhere around 550 crore or so. And we are expecting, in fact, we are bidding almost every month, we are bidding one or two projects. So this bidding pipeline would continue to be there or will be growing.
Sir, the order book that you mentioned, 2,960 crore, that is executable over how much duration? And in particular, how much order book is executable over FY26 and FY27?
So out of 2,960 crores of order book, 1,400 crore is executable over a period of 10 years, and balance you can consider 2.5 to 3 years.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Moneybee. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Regarding these two acquisitions, are we carrying any liabilities also in these, or the liabilities have been written off?
No. Since one acquisition is from CIRP and another is from liquidation, so all liabilities have been cleaned off. So it's a clean slate.
Understood. And this Kandla, which we acquired, was that an operational asset, or since when has that asset not been operating? So, I mean, I don't think we will be able to straight away start manufacturing from that asset, right? We'll have to invest something into that, into the plant and machinery to revive that asset, or it is an asset that we can immediately start commercializing?
No. So you are right. So they were non-operational for, I think, more than 2.5 to 3 years. So we'll not be able to immediately start them. But yeah, we'll have to do some work on it, but that would not be much.
Okay, understood. So, but I mean, this asset is capable of then generating what sort of revenue or what sort of capacities does this asset is capable of?
See, primarily our focus is to first try to take benefit out of backward integration. So, in addition to backward integration, whatever market we would be doing is still under evaluation.
Okay. And the receivables that are there for Kandla, what type of companies are these? I mean,
they are largely Indian companies.
Indian companies only. Okay. Who would have a similar profile like us?
Yeah, would be many. Like whoever is consuming chemicals and fumes.
Okay. But
sorry,
these chemicals you mentioned primarily get... These chemicals you mentioned primarily get consumed in processing of gas, right?
Yeah, so they had a variety of chemicals. Few of them are primarily for our kind of business.
Okay, understood.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Manan Shah, but I would request you to rejoin the question queue. Our next question is from the line of Parin Gala from Mavira AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes,
hello.
Yeah.
So my question was relating to the accumulated losses of the acquired entities. Sorry if that's a repeat question. But what I understood is Dolphin has a 100 crore carry forward loss, accumulated loss. Is that correct?
Correct. Dolphin Offshore Enterprise has that. Accumulated
okay.
loss in income tax, yes.
Okay. And how about the second acquisition of Kandla?
No, they do not have much accumulated loss. That's in few lakhs.
Okay. So second question is regarding the dolphins. So from the existing, you said that we are expecting a minimum of 100 crores of revenue in FY26. So this is in addition to the existing, so we already have that in operation, right? So is any spillover from the current FY25 going into 26 plus we are expecting 100 crores or 100 crores is old plus new?
Yeah, so some spillover from 25 and then balance is, it would be like from this barge and of course, we would be getting profit from our joint venture as well, where we are having that anchor handling tug. So since it is a JV with 37% stake, it would not come under line-to-line consolidation, but it would have a contribution at profit level.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vimoksha from Goyam Labdhi FinTech. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So most of the questions were answered earlier. So I have just one question, sir. Could you please elaborate on the nature of capex required for this PEP over the next few years and how it aligns with the overall FY26 capex plan?
So capex for PEC would largely be in laying, in connecting wells as well as for drilling few wells. Largely that would be the capex and other than that would be OPEX. So whatever capex we have planned, we have considered PEC full capex in that as well.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Savaria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening all. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Most of my questions were answered. One question is regarding the QIP. Since you have spoken about the QIP, our performance has already gotten better. But the valuation of our company has come down. So is there a ballpark figure which you think below which you will not take the QIP?
See, that ballpark figure is something difficult to quantify, but definitely in this type of market we would not do it because we are quite comfortable on liquidity front, and so for us it is not something that we want fund immediately, so we can definitely wait for good time.
And also we are not very panic about the situation.
Yeah, but do we also have a last date before which we have to complete the QIP?
No. So that approval lasts for 1 year.
Yeah. So is it possible that if in case you do not get your desired valuation, you can also forego the QIP? Is that possible, sir?
So currently what we believe is that we'll have to wait for a few months. That is what we believe. Otherwise, other than that, we have not thought of.
And one thing more, sir, regarding your exceptional losses that you have seen in your balance sheet, it is no, as I understand, it is not a cash loss, but a book accounting loss. But whatever you have kept as receivable, can in future they also become an exceptional loss in future balance sheets?
Yeah, so it's a little early to say it on it because we are evaluating their recoverability. And so out of their total receivables, there can be a possibility that we cannot recover all. So there can be a possibility.
Yeah, and would that help us in future to reduce our taxes?
Taxes, I would say, since it is under consolidation, so it is not a tax benefit as a whole. But yeah, for that particular company, tax benefit is there.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Saveria, but I would request you to rejoin the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So, I can, as my understanding, I can understand that we have a cash outflow of 9 crore for acquiring Kandla Chemicals and Dolphins, and 251 crores of one-time loss hitting in Q4. So, what benefit we are going to get in terms of top line and bottom line in next maybe 2-3 years?
See, as we are discussing on this Kandla, it has a receivables of more than 200 crores, which we are evaluating to recover what best we can do out of it. Secondly, we are working on backward integration and benefit out of it, which are quite a decent benefit which we are forcing with improvement in our operating margins. So in terms of value or percentage, it is difficult to quantify, but it would definitely be quite a big than what we have paid.
Okay, that's the only question. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pujan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. All of my questions are answered. If you can answer, what is the value of land in Kandla acquisition?
So land is having value of around 1.5 to 1.75 crore.
Okay, so not much material.
Yeah.
And also, can you elaborate on this 251 crore tax loss? 251 crore exceptional loss. Was it forecasted when acquired this entity?
Sorry?
Was this loss forecasted when we acquired this entity?
No, so they had inventory on books and we were of the impression that we could be able to recover few of it. But when we taken a control, we found that it's entirely needs to be written off. So loss was forecasted, but not that full.
Understood.
But as you are aware that we have just paid 2 crore for acquiring Kandla, so monetary wise it is not at all affecting us.
Correct. Thank you. All of my other questions are already answered relating to the loss.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Speaker Sai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yep.
Yeah. So, sir, it's regarding offshore supply vessels. So, does, you know, Dolphin Shipping actually have, like, you know, latest, you know, anchor handling tugs or platform supply vessels, or are they aged, you know, 1970s or 1980s? Because if we see the previous, their annual reports, we could see them as 1975 or 1980s, like, you know, Kamrup, Kanga Dolphin, all of this. And most of them are actually sold off. So how many are actually operational and, you know, ready to, you know, even go for dry docking? Or are we trying to, you know, bring second-hand, you know, anchor handling tugs or platforms?
Yeah, so the
Dolphin
vessels you named, they are sold, they are liquidated. So the tugs which are available are small tugs, and they are currently running. So, but the vessels which are liquidated or auctioned, there also we have a possibility of getting money, because those money are lying with court, a maritime court, where you can have your claim in that amount as well.
Sir, just one off-topic question. It's regarding this latest offshore jack-up rig rates. So they said that the bidders were, like, you know, offering for, like, you know, $35,000, $45,000. So is it actually affecting the offshore segment, sir? Like, you know, the entire segment? Or is it just a technical blip? Are there any signs of stress because of crude oil going down and bidding rates going down? Is there, you know, any negative impact, sir?
In offshore drilling, the market is global, and offshore drilling rates, be it jack-up or be it semi-submersible, these rates are largely directly linked with crude oil price, because the market is global and all global players are competing with each other. And that is the primary reason we are not focusing on those offshore drilling equipments.
Okay. And one last question regarding a traditional services, sir. So this particular 2960 order book, I think it also comprises Dolphin's 284 crore order, no, sir? Or is it excluding 280?
Yeah, it is inclusive of 281 crore of Dolphin.
Since last 1 to 2 months, we haven't, I mean, like last 2-3 months, we haven't had any, you know, major contracts getting awarded. So are we waiting any, you know, tenders getting awarded, sir? Or is there any, you know, pricing competition or something like that?
If you will see, our traditional service contracts are not that big. So they are in numbers, they are so many. But individual contracts are having value which is not that significant. So that's how our traditional services business operates. And those small contracts we are getting often. So generally we tend to announce the contracts which are material in nature in terms of value.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. All the very best, and that's it from us, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from RNK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, can you give more details on the production enhancement contract? What is your success rate? How confident you are on the success? And how are you going to enhance the production? And what is the risk that this contract can be terminated if there are no significant enhancements in production?
We have done the basic reservoir understanding, geology understanding, and we are of the view that
we definitely have to do some amount of work which are related to either workover or doing air injection and continuing or doing various services to enhance the production. To our understanding and with our data, we are very, very confident that we would be definitely able to enhance the production. So now there are two things that we are going to do. One, we are going to enhance the production from the existing wells that have been drilled. Secondly, maybe a year down the line, our plan is that we would be drilling new wells. And we already have the data, we have the understanding that what kind of a production could be hit. So all net that put together, we are very, very confident that we have been operating into this field for last more than 15 years, I would say. And we have a reasonable idea about the geology around these fields. So the production, we have seen some of these fields have declined to a drastic stage in last 10, 15 years. And I won't say that putting a little effort, but literally putting a little effort would enhance a good amount of production. And then with drilling few more wells, that would be a complete game changer. So to our mind, we are very confident that we should be able to get the best of the production from these fields.
But is there a risk that the contract can be terminated also? Let's say, if 2 years or 3 years down the line, there is no significant enhancement. Is there a risk that the contract can be terminated? How is the agreement structured?
By the virtue of any agreement, not with this agreement, any agreement like any other agreement always has a clause of termination. But usually these kind of services or these kind of contracts are not meant for terminating. These are always to enhance the production. We've been coming in from the services background. We have a fair understanding on the equipment, fair understanding of the geology. So therefore, we believe that having a huge scope in front of us, there is no reason for either party to terminate the contract, because it is going to be a win-win situation for both of the parties. So going to an extent of termination is something that is to a wild of thought. It could be with any contract. So that possibility is something that we really don't see.
You had mentioned to a previous participant that you paid only 2 crore for acquiring Kandla Energy. And then to my earlier question, where I'd asked you how many bps improvement you are expecting in the margins, you said around 2% improvement you are expecting through this Kandla acquisition. So are we saying that on a console revenue of, let's say, around 600 crore or even 700 crore, the 2% of that comes to around 12 to 14 CR? So you are expecting that by making a payment of 2 CR to acquire this company, you will be making an improvement in your EBITDA by to the extent of 12 to 14 CR within a year.
So we had mentioned that there is some amount of investment that we have to do with the existing things and the assets that Kandla has. So it is not something that with 2 crore we immediately rush to 12 crore. There would be some amount of investments which would be done on the plant for setting up all these facilities. And having said that, if that is done, that will definitely yield that kind of a result.
Okay.
I need not go back on the examples of how Dolphin was acquired. So if you see the example of Dolphin, it is a clear testimony of what we are seeing it today. In Dolphin also, our acquisition was minuscule, but among them, we got a property worth more than what our acquisition was, and with the more of arbitration claims and the bars and all those stuff. So in the companies where you tend to acquire from liquidation or from a CIRP process, there is always a good amount of possibility to get that kind of profits.
How much additional investment you may need to make in the Kandla business?
We are working towards it, but my estimate would be that it would be less than 10 crore, not even that much.
Okay, then it's a super acquisition, sir. I must really congratulate you. Sir, in the January con call, you had mentioned that FY25 will not only be the highest ever revenue and EBITDA, but also the highest ever net profit in the history of the company. Now,
correct.
What is the net has been impacted by the one-time loss. Okay, you have obviously delivered the highest ever revenue and EBITDA, and if not for the exceptional loss, maybe you would have done the highest ever net profit also. But so was this one-time write-off not decided in the previous quarter?
No, it was not decided in the previous quarter. And as you very rightly said, that it is an exceptional. But if you have to bar this one-time loss, which is a non-cash thing, if you see that what we have committed in January, it is absolutely same what we had committed in January. So our numbers in terms of our top line or EBITDAs or maybe even our bottom line are meeting what we said in January.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Shah for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. It was a pleasure interaction with you all. If you have any further queries, you can definitely approach us through AdFactors PR or you can directly connect us. We would be happy to answer all your queries. Thank you.
On behalf of Deep Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.